Broken Bulbs is a proud member of the Create Fine and is produced by Mecco Radio.
Everybody's there right at the beginning, right? You have this amazing support system. They're like, anything you need, we're here. And it's like 2 years later, you can have a complete breakdown from depression or anxiety or any of these things. And at that point, everyone's back to their real life. You think you're high, you're like, this is amazing. I'm awesome, I'm kicking ass in the world. And then the next day, it's like, you can't get out of bed. And you're like, what the heck happened? Why can't I just tap into that feeling? Why can't I just be happy?
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Monica Ortega once again. She created the travel show Monica Goes back in 2014 to inspire others to break out of their comfort zones and go on adventures. As someone who's afraid of everything, she'll put herself through almost anything to show that if an average, everyday person like her can do these things, anyone can. But she also faced off with anxiety after ending a negative relationship. That's coming up after the break. Real quick before we get into today's show, I'd like to invite you to leave us a review and share this episode with a friend or family member who you think would get something out of it. We are really trying to push the show and get it out to as many listeners as possible to share the message of we all fail, we all make mistakes, and it's normal, and it's important to talk about it and learn from it. We want to see the show get to 10,000 downloads an episode before the end of the year. Let's see if we can do it. Thanks for your help. Enjoy the show. Monica Ortega, ready to talk about another one of your broken bulbs?
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. So we're going to talk about your divorce and the subsequent roller coaster of emotions and anxiety and depression that came out of that, because it's a huge pivot, a huge change in your life. Can you walk us through that experience?
Yeah, I will say it kind of, there's two big pivots in mental health in my life. And the first one happened between high school and college. I don't think there's enough knowledge about that transition and what it can do to your mental health. I went from on top of the world to like this tiny college where I was miserable, and I got really, really, really depressed. And to the point where they wanted to put me on antidepressants, I ended up moving home. I turned down the antidepressants and sort of figured out, you know, a way to build this mental health toolkit to get through those emotional changes and all of the mental health stuff. So right about the time I'm feeling real good about how I deal with my depression, the divorce happens. And coming out of the divorce, I mean, the first day he told me that he'd been cheating, I packed up, I left, I went to work. I was a server at the Cheesecake Factory. And I was in like this state of euphoric shock. I mean, I was laughing with my coworkers telling him, oh my gosh, this guy's been cheating on me the whole time. Like, I don't know what part of me was just like making jokes about this 6 hours later. And then I remember I went out onto the patio at the end of the shift and just started hyperventilating and collapsed. And I had a full-on panic attack. And from there, I started to realize, okay, I have some anxiety here and it's coming in waves that I don't know how to handle. You know, I'd sort of figured out the depression thing, but the anxiety was such a roller coaster of like, you're super high, you're super low, you don't know what to expect. Like I always say, it's like, I want to run a marathon and cry at the same time. Like, it's the weirdest combination of emotions. And because I'm sort of that type A proactive person that has to have tools in place, I did the same sort of thing where I created this anxiety toolkit of how do I get through these things. And what I tell everyone is I like to have options of dealing with my emotions and then sort of pick and choose to see which one works, right? So like, obviously depression, it's different. It might be stay in bed and cry. It might be force yourself to go out. Anxiety, it might be like go for an angry run, or stay in bed and cry. Like there's all these different things. So I feel like if you can have tools to pick from, it can sort of help minimize those crazy waves of anxiety and depression. But it hit me out of nowhere. definitely blew me away.
Yeah. In our last conversation, you mentioned that anxiety wasn't really something that you had to deal with a lot before. What did you think was happening like when that hit you?
Well, at first I thought this is the best feeling in the world. Like I said, you know, I went from feeling like this shell of a person to sort of being snapped awake immediately. And I was so excited about this second chance and I was going to embrace the crap out of it. And, you know, so I kind of hit the ground running, but then the emotions caught up later. So all of a sudden, you know, I collapse at work that night, or maybe it's 6 months down the road. Suddenly I'm like crying for no reason. And the interesting thing about divorce, and also I've heard this about when people lose a loved one, you know, that dies or something, everybody's there right at the beginning, right? You have this amazing support system. They're like, anything you need, we're here. And it's like 2 years later, you can have a complete breakdown from depression or anxiety or any of these things. And at that point, everyone's back to their real life. So if you don't know how to deal with it, that can be really scary and really lonely. So it was definitely an interesting way of like dealing with emotions, because you think you're high, you're like, this is amazing, I'm awesome, I'm kicking ass at the world. And then the next day it's like, you can't get out of bed and you're like, what the heck happened? Why can't I just tap into that feeling? Why can't I just be happy? But it's our mental health, right? It's not our norm. And I don't think I would want it to be my norm. The great days are amazing, but the bad days are the complete opposite. So it's kind of figuring out how to deal with each one.
I love that you call it an angry run. I like, you know, having these things that you turn to in order to kind of recenter yourself, I guess, or to get it out or to cope with it. What kind of healthy things do you do specifically that get you through those days?
You know, I don't know if they're all healthy choices on my list, but I'm a big believer in let yourself feel what you want to feel, right? Like if I'm depressed or if I'm on the low part of the anxiety, I'm not going to be able to go for a run. I just don't want to. And I'm a big believer in not forcing yourself to feel a certain way. I hate the word should. I should be happy. I should feel this way. So, you know, if you're having a low day or if you're depressed or whatever it is, maybe pick from calling up a girlfriend, watching rom-coms and crying, you know, having wine and ice cream for breakfast. Don't do that every day. Don't recommend that every day. But then having the other options to sort of pull yourself out of it. So it's like, okay, if one day I'm going to sit in bed and cry, I give myself a time limit. So I know that that's only going to be for that one day, because it can turn into multiple days, which gets you to a really dark place. So it's like, okay, today I'm not feeling it. I'm going to honor the fact that I feel like crap and stay in bed. But tomorrow I have to do something different. So then it's like picking, calling a friend. If you're not all the way up yet, yes, reach out. Force yourself to say yes to an invite, you know, those different things. But if I'm super anxious and I can't stop moving and my brain's going a million miles an hour and it's telling me horrible things, that's where like, yes, I'll go for an angry run. I'm all about stream of conscious writing. So that's more of like a get it out kind of thing so that you can calm the brain down. So it's sort of knowing what works when you're super high and what works when you're super low to kind of get you back to your center.
Yeah. Yeah. It's largely about knowing yourself and trying to figure out what works for you, because everybody's different.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
For people who are on the other side of it, who have that friend, right? And yeah, we tend to reach out, you know, when it first happens, but then we forget, right? Or we think, oh, it's been 2 years, they should be over it. For people on the other side who are the friend to this person struggling with anxiety or depression, or whatever is going on in their life at that time or 2 years earlier, what's something that we can do to just be supportive?
Oh, that's a great question. One thing that I found really interesting is nobody wanted to talk about my divorce. Nobody would mention his name. I wasn't allowed to say the D word. It was this weird like thing, and people wouldn't share their happy stuff in their lives because they didn't want to make me sad. And everyone kind of walked around on eggshells. And I thought, this is still a big part of my life. And I'll make a joke about him, or I'll, you know, talk about something that happened when I was married, or go to a wedding or hold a baby. But people kind of had this like weird wall between me and them. Like they didn't want to bring up the happy stuff. They didn't want to bring up the sad stuff. So I would say, don't be afraid to talk to your friend about what's going on in their life. And some people want to talk about it and some people don't. But asking them like, how can I best help you? Do you want to talk about this? Do you not want to talk about this? And then with the mental health stuff, if it's coming up all the time, obviously you might want to suggest that they see a professional, because you also can't take that on. Because I've been on the other side too, where I want to help everybody that's going through a breakdown, and that becomes a lot. So if it is happening all the time, you know, really, really encourage them to see a professional, which is good for everybody in general. Mm-hmm. But I also think, I have a best friend who helps my spiral, right? So our brains lie to us. They're crazy. Our brains are weird. We don't know anything about them. And, you know, you get in that spiral of, I'm a horrible person. I'm a terrible friend. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me, right? You start going down that. So having somebody to call and say, okay, this is what my brain is doing. Is this true? And then immediately she'll be like, of course it's not true. You're always there when I call. You're a great friend. So catch yourself in the lie before you go down the spiral for people that are going through it. But as a friend, you can help sort of stop that spiral by literally calling on proof to disprove that person's spiral, if that makes sense. Yeah. And it doesn't always work because sometimes she'll try to do it and I just can't hear it. At which point then it's like, okay, you got to see a therapist. You got to write it out. You got to try some other stuff. But as a friend, I would say just be there, be open to talk, and don't be afraid to have those conversations, good and bad.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah, I really do. Of course, at the end of every episode, I like to leave some time for you to talk about what's working for you, what's going well, where you've pivoted to, which of course is your book. Tell us about your book and where we can find it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the book is called The Power of Pivoting, How to Embrace Change and Create a Life You Love. And there's a whole chapter on mental health and depression and anxiety. And the big thing I really want to inspire people to do is sort of build out that mental health toolkit. And that can just be like, oh, when I did this, I felt better and it worked with the spiral. And when I did this, it didn't. So figure out what works for you, throw it out, write it down so that the next time you catch yourself in that space, you can stop it before it gets to a really, really dark place. Doesn't work all the time, but it can help a lot of the time. So I kind of break that down in the book of building out those different toolkits and things like that. So the book is available on Amazon, and it's also available on my website, monicagoes.com, which is also where I house my online travel show, Monica Goes, that's all about inspiring people to break out of their comfort zones as well. And then on social media, I'm at Monica Goes Show and at Power of Pivoting.
Fantastic. I'm going to have links for all of that and more down in the show notes so that people can see more of what you're all about and join in on this conversation that you're having and putting out there with your book. So with that, I just want to say thank you once again for joining me.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you for listening. Be there for people and find self-soothing activities for yourself too. And catch yourself in a lie. Having people around you who can lift you up and call you out and keep you on track is always a huge help. I feel like that's one of the most commonly stated things on the show. Surround yourself with great people. Special thank you to Monica Ortega for joining me once again and being willing to talk about her broken bulbs. Be sure to check out her work, including her book, The Power of Pivoting, How to Embrace Change and Create a Life You Love. I've linked that down in the show notes. You can also listen to Monica on episode 67 of Broken Bulbs as well. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and share the show with a friend or family member who you think might get something out of it. Seriously, it helps a ton. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy inside. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.